Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 23rd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Along the way today, we'll check in with the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished like this. The September wheat at $3.66 were up 6.25 today. December futures in Chicago for the soft red at $3.87, up 7 cents. September wheat futures in Kansas City 7.25 higher at $4.53¾ a bushel. September corn futures $2.23½. They were up 4. December futures up 4 cents at $2.40 for the day. And the March corn at $2.54½, up 4 cents. December contract $2.90 for next year, up 4¼ on the 07 contract. September soybean futures now $5.52¼, up 3. November beans at $5.66½, up 4¼. January futures at $5.79¼, up 3¾. And November's at $6.27¼ for 07, up 5¼ today. Bean meal futures, September contract at $1.40 at $1.5970. They were $1.40 higher, that is. September bean oil up 4 at $25.52. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, $115.90. They were 7.5 cents lower. August live cattle at $87.20. up 15 cents, and the October live cattle, 2.5 cents higher at $91.45. Lean hogs at the Merck, $66.17½. They were off 82.5. Outside markets for the day, crude oil trading the October contract at $71.70 a barrel. They were off $1.40. The CRB at $334.75, down 192, and the dollar at $85.13, off 04. The Dow Jones Industrial Average for the day at 11,280 is now 58 points lower.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Paul, thanks for joining us this afternoon, and thanks especially for being down in Terre Haute Grain at their meeting room last night. You and Wayne Nelson and Kate Whitlock all along for what was really a pretty good meeting.
You know, they rolled the red carpet out for us and fed us well, and we all had a blast. There was a lot of good questions, and hopefully we gave the right answer. I think the tone was set with some of the pro-farmer yield results that we talked about and observations of the local farmers, and there's a lot of in-depth questions about the present, the past, and, of course, the future. And, of course, as we left the meeting, there's optimism, unbelievable optimism in the agribusiness community, and that's what it's all about to make things happen in the future.
Tell me about the optimism at the Chicago Board of Trade today. Futures in the bean, the wheat, and the corn pits were all higher.
Well, number one is that there's a general feeling that the pro-farmer crop tour is basically coming up with some disappointing yield results in Nebraska, Ohio, Indiana, and parts of Illinois. The trip is moving north and in Illinois and, of course, in western Iowa. And from there, as we can tell from our observation and sources, are that there's no big surprise on the bigger yield side that's coming out of the state of Illinois at the present time. There are pockets of good corn, but there are also pockets of subpar corn. The crop is probably more mature than it was a year ago. Thus, the kernel fill opportunity and depth of kernel probably is going to be limited. Our general impression is that we are picking up blight, cases of blight in certain regions, sudden death syndrome in the soybeans in the southern Indiana. So it's definitely one of those times where the market was anticipating bigger yields, bigger crop sizes in the future by the USDA. I think that line of reasoning and logic is probably a big question mark on the close today, August 23rd, and I think it's probably creating some major conversations in the boardrooms with the major grain companies and food companies in the world.
It may be that the number that they came up from Nebraska out of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, which was the same actually as it was last year, is the number most people have put in the back in their mind, and they were thinking that that might be bigger, I suppose. I know they've had a tough time out there, but I'm not sure that they believe that Nebraska was hurt as bad maybe as USDA has said it has been in the past.
You know, one thing that we don't generally come up with is that it's these numbers that the USDA came up with were basically what we refer to as bin buster yields, and particularly those ones in the West. And in order to show bigger yields and a trend out there, it put it in question mark. And I think the same thing is that there really can't be a bad spot in Illinois to come up with that 172 bushel yield. So the question mark is there, and some of our, we do know there's certain communities, like Hoopston, Illinois is a bin buster locality, to Danville, and there's a pretty good crop around Oakland, Illinois as well. But we do know from there was some private tours like the Douglas County Crop Tour that basically said there was a big question mark and a red flag raised even before the USDA report. So I think that this is going to create a lot of interest, and you can rest assured that there's going to be some major grain companies that send out their employees into the fields to get another look-see before the USDA report in September.
And then what is it that you're expecting as the tour continues across parts of Iowa today and through Illinois? In Iowa in particular, will they find that that 173 is really there?
Well, we have to really go into sections of Iowa, and of course that northern half where it is the most productive part of Iowa, then we'll probably produce 60-70% of the corn crop there. So that's the key. And are we really going to hear the word 220 bushels or 200 bushel plus yields out of that producing area? Or did that warm temperatures speed the maturity, reduce the yields like we're seeing evidence here across the eastern part? And one thing we do know is when we examine the rainfall data, that there was 150, maybe 200% of normal rainfall for the month of August, whereas we didn't see that rainfall, east of the Mississippi, so to speak. And the tour is, basically coming in with this idea that, the bushels aren't there, particularly east of the Mississippi. The verdict is still out as far as west is concerned. And, we'll hear about states like Minnesota and Iowa, and we do get some reports that Iowa crop possibly has even improved from some sources. So it will be interesting kind of peg what the crop size is. And, this is a very thought-provoking and interesting tour.
I think I said they would be through Iowa tonight. I think that's not until tomorrow, actually.
That's right.
They end up in Minnesota, in Worthington, Minnesota tonight. I was just reading some of what Chip Flory had to say about the tour through Nebraska. They came up with 123.23 bushels to the acre there. USDA's figured at 153 bushels to the acre, and he was talking about that a little bit on his website. And we'll talk with him, by the way, this weekend on Commodity Week that airs at 11:30. He'll be our guest.
See, the government had an 160, Todd, Minnesota.
Well, for Nebraska.
Okay.
He had a 123 in Nebraska, but he says that Flory claims that the tour always measures it really light because they hit mostly the dry land stuff, and the irrigated things really push that potential bushel, those bushels up. So that's why there's such a big difference in their numbers and USDA's numbers. But those two sets of numbers line up pretty concurrently with what USDA and the Crop Tour measured last year.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I guess the bottom line maybe is that do you think at this point that the big crop that we have is just going to stay steady or get smaller than it was on the August report, or will it get larger yet?
I think it's a big question mark. And number one is I would err in saying east of Mississippi, I think we're actually going to see a smaller crop.
And is that because of Ohio and Indiana?
I think it's Illinois as well. I think Illinois is a big question mark. I think there's enough evidence that it is a smaller crop, and I think it sends a significant message that the marketplace, at the present time, as short as it is, they don't want to hear about a smaller crop. They want to hear about a bigger crop, and I think it can influence the basis tremendously, as well as the flat price, because we have this tremendous drop, almost half the carryover this coming year. And as a result of that, there's no error can be made as far as the size of the crop, because demand is so unbelievably good in basically the carry, the feed demand, the exports, and, of course, the industrial usage of corn.
We appreciate you being with us. Thanks,
Paul. Profitable day, and we'll be on the edge of our chair listening for reports throughout the night.
All right. Thanks much, Paul Cooley.
Have a good one.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom there, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Ed Kieser's forecast for tonight across the two-state region. He says in the north, partly to mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range, says Ed, from 58 in parts of southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana to 68 in parts of northern Illinois. Tomorrow, in the north, a mix of clouds, some sunshine with scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 82 in northern Indiana to 92 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast Friday in the north, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, very warm, and more humid. Once again, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated just after the bottom of the hour. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Please drop by our website. There you'll find all kinds of information. It's willag.org. Next week, Dave Dickey and I, along with Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser, will be at the Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. That show runs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. We'll be in the AgriGold tent, where we'll put Ag Outlook panels on during the day at 9:30, 11 o'clock, and 1:30. Steve Erdman of EFG, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing will be on hand with us for the 3-day run over at the Farm Progress Show. That's August the 29th, 30th, and 31st. Shows will be at 9:30, 11 o'clock, and 1:30 daily. Please drop by the AgriGold tent and see us. Also, you can hear some of that programming right here on the radio station as we'll come to you live from the Farm Progress Show next week. Well, up next, day two of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour wrapped up last night in Bloomington. At the end of the day, the tour issued the final numbers for the state of Indiana. Roger Bernard leads the eastern leg of the tour.
Well, out here in Indiana, we measured a corn yield of 136.29 bushels an acre, just down 0.2% from a year ago on the tour. A little surprising, actually, if you would compare it to what USDA measured on August 1. They were looking at the state of Indiana producing with a yield that's up 8.4% from a year ago. You know, so we were looking for that yield to come in about 147 bushels an acre. Instead, we're down around 136. Numbers coming through very similar to last year across the board. And, you know, in terms of those ear counts out there, the grain inches out there, you know, coming in about the same. So it might be a preview of what we may see coming from USDA in September. We may have found some of the little bit later planted corn that maybe didn't do as well.
As for soybeans, Bernard says the tour's numbers are fairly consistent with USDA.
Well, actually, we came in this year on the tour 1,016.44 pods in that 3 foot by 3 foot square, down from a year ago, about 5.9%. Those unfavorable conditions that we've been talking about that nip some of those cornfields, you know, apparently have also come through in those beans. We did pull some very strong pod numbers out of some of those districts, you know, up over 2,000 pods in those 3 foot by 3 foot squares. That's a pretty good number. But then again, you had a lot of those coming in around 1,000. So when you start bringing those all together, you start seeing that, wow, you know, we really maybe didn't measure quite as much yield potential out there in the beans. I think, at least on the route that I took, I saw a lot of those fields, at least a couple of them, that still had some blooms going on. Those are fields that are still trying to make some potential. We still could see an increase. You know, it's just really going to depend on, I think, a lot how that crop finishes out.
Well, over on the western leg, the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour issued its corn yield estimates and average bean counts for Nebraska last night as well, spending 2 days in that state. Crop scouts found tremendous variability, especially in the corn. But Chip Florey, the Pro Farmer editor and leader of the tour's western leg, says when he tallied the numbers up for corn, he found the same crop in Nebraska this year as last.
Last year we had an average yield estimate of 123.02 bushels per acre. This year it's 123.23 bushels per acre. So we're basically 0.2 of a bushel bigger than what we saw a year ago. I guess we shouldn't be surprised by that. I guess we shouldn't be surprised because on August 1, USDA put the crop at 153 bushels per acre. Last year, Nebraska produced 154 bushels per acre. It's an identical crop.
And Florey says timely rains earlier this month mean Nebraska's soybean crop should come close to matching last year's, too.
That soybean crop managed to hold on to enough yield potential until those rains arrived on August 1st. Last year, we did 50.5 bushels per acre in Nebraska. I don't think we're going to get there this year, but I think there's a pretty good chance that we're going to be up from USDA's August 1 estimate.
The tour's western leg left Nebraska City this morning and will roll through western Iowa, stopping tonight in Worthington, Minnesota. We'll hear from Chip Florey this weekend on Commodity Week. Speaking of soybeans, farmers attending the 50th consecutive Agronomy Day on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois last week were reminded of that pest and that it didn't seem to be a problem this year, but that it could be one next year. We'll hear more with extension entomologist from the U of I, Kevin Steffi. The soybean aphid showed up in America for the first time in the year 2000, at least in large enough numbers to be recognized. It was an oddity for that first year. In the second year, it was a problem, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Kevin Steffi.
It's been on about an every other year outbreak scheme. We had an outbreak in 2001, then they weren't very numerous in 2002. In 2003, we had a widespread, devastating outbreak, caused a lot of yield loss. And then in 2005, we anticipated an outbreak, but it was too hot.
The soybean aphid is a cool-seasoned insect. They don't do well when temperatures climb above 86 degrees Fahrenheit and shut down almost completely when the temps top 90 degrees. Well, the reproductive capacity of the soybean aphid is astounding. But as researchers around the Midwest have discovered, soybean aphid populations can swing up and down very quickly.
One of the great things about an invasive species, if there is anything great about them, is it mobilizes a lot of people to do something. And there have been a lot of cooperative efforts among research and extension specialists in entomology, as well as state and regional soybean associations. And a lot of good has come from those cooperative efforts, starting with the economic threshold that is still very reliable and rather conservative, 250 aphids per plant, with 80% of the plants being infested. And if you skip down to this third bullet point, you'll see that it doesn't take very long for their numbers to build up. Their populations can double in size in 2 to 3 days, depending on temperature. This insect has incredible reproductive capacity.
A capacity that means an infestation can jump to 1,000 soybean aphids per plant in about a week. It takes that many aphids before economic damage is done. And this is why Kevin Steffi called the 250 aphid per plant economic threshold, well, conservative. The threshold accounts for the massive reproductive capacity of the insect. Again, the threshold is 250 aphids per plant, on 80% of the plants scouted between the R1 and R5 stage. Pull 20 plants randomly from across the field when making the assessment. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, as for next year, Kevin Steffi told the crowd gathered at the U of I Agronomy Day on the South Farms in Urbana that 2007 may be a lot worse than 2006 as the soybean aphid goes. There are two things that point to this for him. First, aphid numbers seem to be building in some fields across the state right now. It's really too late for them to damage the crop at this point. And secondly, there is a primary predator that does not seem to be around in large numbers this season, the multicolored Asian lady beetle. It, by the way, is also an import into the United States. Well, on this Wednesday afternoon, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Thanks for inviting me down last night. Had a great time at your facilities there in Terre Haute for an Ag Outlook panel.
Well, you were a great moderator, and we had a lot of audience participation. I've had a lot of positive feedback today. We had about 75 people here, so it was a great, very successful meeting, and we thank you, too.
Thank you much. You know, it doesn't hurt when you feed the people. They're always happier that way, I think. So
they all admitted the food was a big draw.
It always is, isn't it? It was a good meeting. I haven't heard from the meeting in Normal, Illinois last night. Dave Dickey's not in today, but I suspect that one went over very well last night, too. Hey, tell me about this little rise in the marketplace. We talked about last night the cash grain market getting a little tighter in terms of basis levels, and then she turned around and the futures market went higher today, just as most, I think all three of you were predicting that would happen in short order last night.
Well, you know, I think it was a little technical rebound. Evidently, some selling dried up. I can't find any particular profound reason why it went up other than just it was oversold and the fact that farmers are just tight holders. The basis has gotten a little bit better. And I think Pro Farmers Tour had a psychological effect on the market today, too, because, I mean, they're not finding the most optimum yields out there, too. So anyway, it was a welcome little rally.
It's kind of interesting on that one because they're actually finding good yields. They're just not finding maximum yields, and it's fun to watch the market respond to that in particular, I think.
There's a lot more variability out there, I think, this year than there was last year. Last year was a lot more consistent, especially in our area. We've got We've got corn in all stages of growth. Some will be harvested in the next 3 weeks, and some just went through pollination 3 weeks ago. So it's going to be a hard one to peg this year. But I talked to Paul Cooley earlier, and he seems to think maybe that the old number that the government had might be a little bit more realistic when it's all said and done.
And what are your bids for the day?
All right, our cash corn today is 202, cash beans 530, and cash wheat today is 291.
Okay, again, thanks much for inviting me down last night. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Market Report every Wednesday to take a look at the cash grain market. In about 2 minutes, we should talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Judy Bartopinka is proposing that Illinois create a casino in Chicago and add new gaming positions at existing casinos that generate billions of dollars to help fund schools. Speaking in Elmhurst this afternoon, the Republican candidate for governor says it's a way to raise money for the state without raising taxes. Topinka estimates that the state would bring in an estimated $1.2 billion a year from the Chicago casino plus the new gaming positions. The bodies of two Indiana police officers killed in a crash during a charity bike ride are being escorted to funeral homes in their hometowns today. State police are still investigating the cause of the crash on Indiana 63 in Vermilion County, Indiana. One officer was with the Indiana State Police, the other a retired Lake County Sheriff's deputy. Indiana officials have agreed to restore benefits to more than 1,800 Medicaid recipients who lost them after their incomes were ruled too high to qualify for state assistance. That will bring to nearly 13,000 the number of blind, elderly, and poor people who have had benefits restored pending additional agency review of their cases. Several aid recipients sued the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration after losing their services earlier this year. Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn stopped in Champaign this morning to promote state efforts to make defibrillators as common in public places as fire extinguishers. A fund managed by the State Public Health Department provides matching money that schools, park districts, and colleges can use to buy the emergency equipment. Information on applying for the grants can be found online at keepillinoishealthy.org. An inmate serving a 4-year sentence for theft is now facing federal charges that accuse him of threatening President Bush. A federal grand jury in East St. Louis has indicted Menard Correctional Center inmate Troy Stafford of knowingly and willfully mailing a letter threatening to harm the president. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners. First Federal Savings Bank, Champaign and Urbana. Squires Land and Management Company, Danville. Michael W. Walker Consulting, Urbana. And Weiskamp Screen Printing, Champaign. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. And Wednesday afternoon, we always talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City about the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Drew. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
The skies are sunny here in the Midwest. How about in your part of the Midwest? Sunshine there, too?
Yeah, it's not bad out there in a large part of the region. We're really doing good right now with crop maturation occurring with a favorable amount of moisture around in the soil. We're not seeing a lot of rain, but we're seeing some periodic precipitation that is helping to maintain that late-season filling process for those soybeans. And I think it's a pretty good scenario across most of the country. And, you know, I don't think it's going to change much as we go forward over the next 10 days or so. There is a cool front of significance that will try to cut through a portion of the Midwest, well, actually most of the Midwest, as we finish out the work week and go into the weekend, and we'll see enough rainfall with that to take care of any moisture deficits that we have, at least from a crop need perspective, and then we'll go back into a drier mode after that and kind of coast our way into September.
Winter wheat will be planted or is being planted, one of the two, very shortly. Can you tell me about some of the regions and how they've been recovering from drought over the past few months, if they are?
Absolutely, and they are recovering, especially the state of Kansas and to a large degree east central and southeastern sections of Colorado and the Texas Panhandle. Those areas have seen the most frequent precipitation over the past 10 days to 2 weeks. We've seen up to 7 inches of rain in the Great Bend, Kansas area, which is right in the middle of the state, probably in the middle of the wheat country there. Couldn't ask for more rain than that after months of drought. That is a little bit extreme, though. Most of the rain amounts across the center part of Kansas back into southeast Colorado have run from about 2.5 to maybe 5 inches over the past couple of weeks. And that's plenty of rain to start restoring that soil moisture and setting the stage for a favorable planting process this year. Now, it's not, the rain hasn't been real uniform. There's been some areas that haven't done well. Southwestern Nebraska, northeastern Colorado, and extreme northwest Kansas is one region that hasn't done very well. They've picked up about an inch and a half of rain, but with the kind of dryness that was present before that rain arrived, I doubt seriously they've made much headway against the drought. And parts of Oklahoma are still pretty dry as well. I think there's a significant need for greater amounts of rainfall across that state. They will see some showers periodically. But I think the bottom line is we're going to look pretty good when we get down the road another few weeks. And I think we will likely go on the ground under relatively favorable conditions.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and weather right there on our website. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.